When Elijah called the priest of Baal on the top of Mount Carmel together, he gave them a famous question. In fact, he shouted a question to them. He said, "How long will you waver between two opinions?" With frustration. "What two opinions?" He continued, "If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." In other words, make a decision. Make up your mind. Make a choice. And how did the people respond to his challenge? 1 Kings 18, verse 20. But the people said nothing. They were silent. That is one of the saddest verses in the Bible to me. In their silence, they actually did make a choice, and they made the wrong one. And Elijah had to call fire out of heaven. When it comes to making decisions, some people are paralyzed. They just hate making decisions. It's called analysis paralysis. Have you ever heard of it? And one of the reasons that they get this paralysis is because they are afraid of making a bad decision and being embarrassed by the bad decision that they make. History is filled with people who made some bad decisions. I'll give you just two of them. In 1938, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel introduced a new comic book character by the name of Superman, and they wanted some instant money into their pockets, and so they sold the rights to their publisher for $130. Bad decision. In 1955, Sam Phillips, who was a music producer in Nashville, Tennessee, sold his rights to a recording studio, RCA Victor, to an unknown recording artist by the name of Elvis Presley. Bad decision. Regardless of why, some people would rather have a root canal than to make a decision. When Ronald Reagan was a young man, he learned the hard way that it is better to make a decision yourself, personally, than it is to allow someone else to make it for you. How did that happen? His aunt took him to a shoemaker so that the shoemaker could make him a pair of custom-made shoes. And the shoemaker asked Ronald Reagan, "Would you like a rounded toe or a square toe?" And he couldn't make up his mind. And he said to the shoemaker, "You decide." When he went back to pick up his shoes, the right shoe had a round toe and the left shoe had a square toe. And Ronald Reagan said later in his life that he credits that shoemaker with teaching him an important lesson. Make up your mind. Make your own decisions and don't be paralyzed by choices. Of course, some choices are harder to make than other choices. Some of them are very life-changing choices, like should I get married or should I not get married? Should I go into debt for that or should I not go into debt for that? Should I confront that person or should I just keep my mouth shut? Tough choices. Solomon had a difficult choice to make. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, I'm sure you will remember that God said to Solomon, "Ask for whatever you want me to do." And you know what Solomon answered? He said, "Lord, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge that I may lead these people." And that made God very happy. I've often wondered to myself, if God gave me that choice, what would I ask for? Have you ever thought about that? If you have been put to that test, what would you ask God for? A long life? Good health? Win the lottery? What would you ask God for? What are some of the most life-changing decisions that you have ever made? I wish we could take the time to have you stand up and share right now what some of the most life-changing decisions are that you have made. And I am sure that many of you have made wonderful decisions in your life. And I am sure that some of us have made lousy decisions in our lives. I think probably all of us have done that. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God leveled this choice before the people. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life. Choose life so that you and your children may live. And I imagine that you are very familiar with this passage from Joshua chapter 14, where he said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the most important decision you could make. As for me, we will serve the Lord. Assuming, of course, that you have made that decision. Have you gone to church for years or even decades and never publicly acknowledged that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord? Maybe you have signed a statement of faith. Maybe you have assumed that you are a Christian because you joined a church. But have you ever publicly acknowledged Jesus is your Savior and your Lord? If so, today is your day. Choose today whom you will serve. Is Jesus Christ who he said he is or not? Do you know that when you die, you will spend eternity with him or not? Here is a very humbling irony. Jesus said this in John 15, you did not choose me, I chose you. Wow. The King of Kings chose you and me. Wow. He also said this in Luke 19, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. But in his divine process, the ultimate choice falls back into our laps because he gives us a choice. You and I live in a culture of maybe. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I'll give you one illustration. Someone sends out an invitation to come to an event, and they ask for an RSVP. I have known many people who have looked at that RSVP and thought, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 3 weeks. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 3 months. Maybe something else better will come along. And so you know what they do? They just don't reply. They don't respond to the request for an answer to the invitation. That is so selfish. I have known so many people who do that. If they got an invitation to the White House, I'll bet they would decide. And I'll bet they would decide quickly. And I'll bet they would answer the RSVP. Listen, when God sends you an invitation, brothers and sisters, do you dare ignore him? Do you have the gall to say to the Lord God Almighty, well, I will unless something better comes along? Choose this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Have you ever made a choice, a decision, and then questioned it and wondered, oh, did I make the right choice? I'm sure all of us have. I'm sure you realtors in here, how many realtors do we have in here? Just one? Is Hank the only realtor? Okay. I wonder how many times you have had people that were ready to sign a contract and then got what they call cold feet. Buyer's remorse. Did I make the right decision? Analysis paralysis. They want to avoid the feeling of doubt. That feeling of doubt is a terrible feeling. I read about a woman who was standing in line at Starbucks. And the person in front of her very confidently went up to the clerk and said this, I want a decaf grande, sugar-free vanilla, non-fat latte with extra foam, and please heat the milk to 140 degrees. Well, the lady who was standing in line heard that and she was dumbfounded. She thought, oh, Faye, what kind of a, I don't know what I want. I don't know how to make this decision. And she became paralyzed, and then she began to covet that other cup of coffee. She wanted just what that other person was going to have. She was a slave to anxious indecision. Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or Lord or not? God expects us to commit, and He tells us in His Word not to waver between two opinions. And perhaps you say, well, that's not me, Harry. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have given my life to Him. No turning back. No turning back. But then God throws a pebble in your path and you stumble. Or maybe it's a rock. Or maybe it's a boulder, or maybe it's a mountain you can't even see around that mountain, and you have to make some decisions and choices. What do you do? How do you decide what to do? Brothers and sisters, here are some suggestions. Ask God. Ask God what to do. Go to God's Google. You ever heard of God's Google? Those of you who use computers know what Google is. God's Google comes in a number of translations. And RB's favorite is the King James Version. And that's one of the places that you can go for answers from God. Go to His Word. And also give God a call. By now, you should know His number. It's Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. And when you do reach Him, take it to the Lord in prayer. Go into your prayer closet and shut the door. Retreat from all those distractions and talk to God and say, God, help me make this decision. And then listen. Listen, listen with your heart for His voice. You may not hear it right away because sometimes He says, wait, not now. But He will answer you. You will hear His voice. Amen? Well, this is the new year. And I want to urge you to make some inspired choices in this new year. And I'm going to give you three specific challenges for your choices. First, I want you to memorize some of His Word this year. I want you to memorize at least one verse a month. Or even one verse a week. Just hide His Word in your heart. And here's challenge number two for this new year. I want you to increase your prayer life. I want you to find the best place and the best time in your day to pray every day. And I want to challenge you, listen to this, I want to challenge you to pray for at least 30 seconds. You know what? For some of you, That would be a giant step of faith, a giant growth in your life. 30 seconds with God. And it will increase. And it will increase. Number three, I want you to make a choice on how you are going to help us grow this fellowship. I want you to multiply yourself by one or more. Here's my challenge to you this year. I want you to figure out a plan as to how you are going to reach out to at least one other person and get them to come here with you to worship the Lord God regularly. I don't care if they are a believer and you're robbing them from another church, don't quote me, or a non-believer. In fact, if they are a non-believer, I would be even more excited. Bring somebody. Before this year is out, I want to double the size of this congregation by your making a choice to do it. Memorize scripture. Increase your prayer life and help this fellowship grow. Will you do that? Now, as I close this sermon, I want to do something that can be pretty scary for some people. If there is any person here who has never publicly committed their life to Jesus Christ, who has never publicly proclaimed that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, then I want to invite you to make that decision right here today. Choose this day whom you will serve. Don't wait for another new year, brothers and sisters. That may be too late. His love for you knows absolutely no bounds. He welcomes you with open arms. Yes, we're going to have an altar call. As we sing the next hymn, I invite you to dare to leave your seat and come right down here to the front where I will be, so that we can have a joyful prayer over you. Reverend Hooks over here is a seasoned Baptist pastor. And on a number of Sundays at the conclusion of the service, he has said to me, I believe we might have missed a divine appointment this morning. I believe we should have allowed people to express their love for God this morning. And he has done that countless times from his pulpit. So, Brother Hooks, start praying. Start praying. Now, for some of you, you have committed your life to Jesus Christ. You have come forward. You've been there. You've done that. However, maybe your faith has grown cold. And you know it, and he knows it. And you need to recommit your life to him, that the fire would burn again in your belly for God. Amen. And therefore, I want to invite you also to come and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Don't be like the people who heard the invitation from Elijah and did nothing. If God speaks to your heart, then come. There is no God but the Lord God Jehovah. There is no Savior but Jesus Christ, his Son. So choose this day whom you will serve. Let's stand and sing together.